Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Billy D's podcast. I am absolutely thrilled that you are here. If you have never checked out our podcast before, we are primarily an interview and a commentary podcast. You can find the Billy D's podcast pretty much anywhere podcasts are found. And you can find the podcast on Twitter at Billy D's. We're going to talk just a little bit about Twitter today, but that's coming up. Every so often here on the podcast, when we do commentary programs, we often have a guest co-host. And one of our recurring co-hosts is Jack Casey. He is on the line with me today. How are you doing, Jack?
Good, man. Good to be here. It's been a while. Yeah. Seems like every time you've hit me up in the recent past, I've been like 100 miles away. So, you know, that is, I heard that, I'm now an uncle. My sister had her kid about 2 months ago now, something like that.
Yeah.
So was out in Boston and visiting and
yeah,
listening to the baby scream. It was a good time.
Sure. I bet
you recently had an addition to your family too.
Yes, the elder stepdaughter here in the household just had a baby, and my wife is absolutely ecstatic about that. So, those are all good times.
Congratulations, man.
We're going to talk about a couple of... Oh, well, thank you. We're going to talk about a couple of different things today. And front and center, as we are in production, this is May 3rd. Within the last 24 hours, breaking news, as they say, there has been a leak, I guess is the proper word, from the Supreme Court that there has been what we would call a draft. From what I understand, the Supreme Court has confirmed that this is a legitimate document that was leaked. However, they stressed that this was not the final draft. Of a decision that could overturn Roe versus Wade. And obviously, this has caused a firestorm on social media. It's called a firestorm across the country. I've been saying for a long time, that we've had a number of different issues come up that caused protests in the past, whether it be the social justice issues, and, you know, the masks and all this other stuff. But I'm telling you right now, this goes through this Roe versus Wade. And this is going to be the true test of whether this how well this country can come back together or not. This is going to be big. I personally, as you have listened to this podcast before, I am not an ideologically driven podcast. That is not what we do here. Obviously, opinion, and there's a certain amount of subjectiveness that goes into it. But we are not, me personally, anyway, I'll speak for myself. I try not to make, I have guests on that have different ideologies, but I myself don't try to be rah-rah conservative, rah-rah liberal. I believe there's way too much of that. We need to examine these issues a lot more carefully than just saying because we belong to a certain team that is our opinion. And to talk about this abortion issue, let's kind of start with the premise that I'm not going to make a moral argument one way or the other on this subject. There's simply no winning that, no matter what side of it you are on. I do feel that if you are a woman, and you, let's say, ideology aside, be very careful that you don't get talked into having an opinion about this with people using political or religious arguments. You really need to be practical about whether or not this is good for women in general. That would be my advice. And that's kind of where we're going to go with this. Let's talk about this being a woman's issue. I'm going to start with Jack on that. You know, so many people, you know, the my body, my choice. Is this something that you have an opinion on?
Absolutely. I, too, also look at it from a practical standpoint. I don't find it to be a, I guess, palatable thing. You know, it's not a, it shouldn't be used as a form of birth control, but there are many cases in which, like, say, taking, for example, ectopic pregnancies, you know, where it ends up in the fallopian tube. And some states would want to try to disallow that. In fact, one of our senators here in Ohio, I can't remember which one, but said something about how we can take a pregnancy in the fallopian tube and reimplant it, which according to medical science is not a thing. And it disturbs me a lot to see these people in charge who aren't doctors basically making medical decisions for mm-hmm. women. And I think that's a terrible precedent that needs to stop. Yeah. I also worry about the influx of, say, domestic violence. Like, now that abortion isn't going to be an option in some states, you'll end up with, say, a boyfriend or a husband who doesn't want the kid. And I feel like there's going to be higher rates of domestic violence that are going to come out of that, where, you know, women are end up injured or killed along with, you know, the unborn. And it's just, my major problem with this in terms of practicality and, you know, health in general is that it's going to open up this just Pandora's box of issues that we've had somewhat tamped down since Roe v. Wade was decided on. But my second major issue with overturning it is that it affects a lot of other things as well. So by taking the federal, mandate away that abortion should be legalized in all states, it also opens up attacks on other rights and privacies, such as gay marriage, such as contraception. One thing about Roe v. Wade that was a good thing was that it also kept down the rates of unwanted children who are going to end up abused or in a system that's basically hell for them. And it's just, this is the party of the political party that's trying to say that, oh, we value personal privacy and personal direction, but yet we're going to tell you what you can and can't do with your body at the same time. And I also find that that kind of hypocrisy is very disturbing. It's going to be interesting to see if they actually go through with it, because this is a draft. This isn't the final decision yet. It was written back in February, I believe. And also, this is unprecedented as well. There has never been a draft of a Supreme Court decision leaked before it was actually announced. So it'll be interesting to see who did it and whether or not they do find anything in their investigation for this breach of security. I find it distasteful that we call ourselves the land of the free and we're all high and mighty about it, but yet we're telling people, well, sucks to be you being pregnant. We don't care how it happened. You get to go through it with it anyway.
Yeah. The issue that you have to be very careful about is to legislate any type of restrictions on abortion. You have to reach inside the domain of a female body. And I know a lot of times critics of abortion rights will say that, you know, very few of the abortions have anything to do with rape. And that is partially true. But keep in mind that rape statistics show that of the overall population, 17.6% of women have been victims of rape or attempted rape. And of course, this is not limited to women. Less, but still significant numbers of victims are men. And only 2% of rapists serve any time in prison. Now, this is U.S. Department of Justice, U.S. Bureau of Justice figures here. So essentially what we are getting into is we have a situation that if the extreme right gets their way, which is no abortions under any circumstances, and you may say, well, that's not really what they're going for. Here's the thing with this type of legislation. And I say the same thing when it's the other way around, when it's a conservative issue. One of the reasons why conservatives don't want to give an inch on gun laws is because once you open that door, then there more comes. And that's exactly what's going to happen here. It's not only going to be with very, very, very restrictive terms in terms of when an abortion can be done. But as you alluded to, Jack, this is on the way now, going toward reevaluating homosexual marriage, transgender rights. This whole thing is, and that has already started. If you're sitting there saying, "Oh, that isn't what this is," this has already started. It's already being planned for in states. All they're waiting for, just like with Roe v. Wade, all they're waiting for is for that shoe to drop, and they're going to be right there.
Oh, yeah. So I have a lot of friends in the LGBT community, and I'm scared for them. I mean, maybe not necessarily here in Ohio, but like a lot of the more conservative states. Because, I mean, imagine that you just spent, 50 years crawling out of a hole where you're finally accepted and you get the same rights as, you know, everybody else, when it shouldn't matter. I mean, who you're sleeping with or who you decide to be a partner with in the first place, only to have your hands stomped on the second you get to the top of the abyss and then get sent right back down. It opens up things like, contraception was illegal for anyone but marriage partners in many states up until Roe v. Wade. Oh, that was another thing it touched on. If you already can't
get a permission slip from their husband.
Yep. And it brings up this Pandora's box that, you know, everybody is shouting like, "Oh, wow, we won this giant victory for the unborn." But it's going to cause a lot of problems for a lot of other things. And I mean, not even necessarily things that the left are going to talk about. I mean, this could open up precedents for, say, banning guns in different countries, for banning or taxing churches, perhaps, in some, you know, states, things like that. And the other thing that really bothers me about this, too, is that we're now allowing these states to legislate whether or not you can have a medical procedure. And none of this legislation is written by any actual doctors. And I feel like that's one of the worst parts about it. So it's the same as when you see like them try to legislate parts of the internet, and it's done by a bunch of dinosaurs who still think the internet's a series of tubes. It's not going to go well for either side. And all it's really going to do is create just another mess when we've got enough problems that we need to get on in the first place instead of creating new ones. So I don't know. It's not.
Where I was going with this is that if the extreme right gets their way, and people like Sarah Palin have said, abortion under no circumstances, this would mean if your father rapes you, the pregnancy is detrimental to your health, you still do not get the option of an abortion. Yep. That's where this is going. And if you feel that's ridiculous or extreme, just Google up some of the opinions of some of these extreme right politicians who have opinions on this, not only in the federal government, but on the state level, especially some of the states that are very actively anti pro-choice.
And to add on to that, too,
I want to be clear,
if I may,
go ahead.
Seeking out an abortion or a medical procedure after, say, you were raped by a family member, any of that is another way that you can document and perhaps bring the perpetrator who did it to justice. So this is just denying women another, you know, avenue toward being able to see justice and being wronged in such a horrific way. And I find that disgusting as well.
I want to be clear. I want to the rights on women on this. If you're a woman and you're saying you're pro-life, that's great. That's your choice. And I want to stress that's your choice. Where this is going is if any woman out there, and I would say this is the majority of them, who have ever had a ex-boyfriend or ex-husband who hasn't been able to get it through their head that the relationship is over, is now going to be armed with the notion that if he rapes you and he gets you pregnant, the judge is going to tell you, you have to have the baby. You're tied to him for another 20 years. And this has already started too. A lot of rapists have already sued for child support. That's already happened. And keep in mind that statistic I said that only 2% of rapists serve any time in prison. This means that any rapist who impregnates a woman is probably going to get off scot-free. And if this woman seeks an abortion to remedy her situation, she is almost certain to be arrested or not be able to get the abortion that she needs. And I can't imagine any reasonable person not acknowledging this point. You know, this isn't here again, this is the moral issue of abortion itself. I personally would have to say, obviously, it's not something I would be too thrilled about engaging in.
Right.
But for these circumstances, these are the options that women have to deal with. There isn't any laws that I'm aware of that reaches inside the body of a man. I could be wrong, but I don't know of any. I've never even heard of vasectomy being referred to as a sin by any legislator.
Nope.
Some religious people do. But this is the type of thing that, no man has ever had to get a prescription, permission slip from his wife to get a vasectomy. Okay. And there have been times when women have had to get a permission slip to get birth control from their doctor, from their husband. And that wasn't that long ago. We're talking the 1970s.
Yeah.
This wasn't that long ago.
It was part of Roe v. Wade, actually, making that not a thing anymore. So one other Pandora's box that's opened up, too, and this actually happened in Texas. Say that you got pregnant, you know, whether you wanted it or not, and you were in some kind of accident or you had a miscarriage all on your own, which happens. Like, there are miscarriages that just happen. There's no real thing behind it. A woman was just investigated for murder after she had a miscarriage. And it's possible that on the worst day of your life, when you've had this miscarriage, whether you wanted the kid or not, as I said, I mean, there are some laws that are being proposed to call it like a murder or a manslaughter charge over a child basically dying inside of you with no real participation of your own, I guess. And that's another horrible thing too. I mean, like, where do we draw the line on that? You know, like, the one example could be, say I got really mad at a neighbor and I went outside and I popped him with a shotgun. Does that mean that the guy who sold me the gun at the gun store is now a murder accessory? And it could go on like that. Mm-hmm. Like, there have been, I've seen proposals for, you know, similar things, and just where does it end? You know, and to be fair, I do not believe that victims of gun crime should be allowed to sue gun manufacturers, because it's not, you know, once they gave up the product, it's kind of like if I sued the grocery store because I choked on a grape I bought, you know, it's not the grocery store's fault. And that's another can of worms we're opening, and it's not a good one. And I don't like it. So that's kind of all I got on that.
Yeah. I mean, it's no different than buying a car or anything else. There comes a point, unless the car malfunctions due to, you know, a defect that the manufacturer was aware of, which is a whole nother situation, but you can't hold manufacturers responsible for the irresponsible use of any type of product.
Another example too, like, there have been bartenders who have been charged with, like, over serving customers who then got in a car and, you know, wrecked into a bus full of nuns or whatever. And I've never really been right with that either, because I mean, how do you know that the guy didn't bring additional liquor with him? Or how do you know that?
Oh yeah.
You know, it's just, and this is another thing it opens up. And there are many, many possibilities.
I can tell you that I worked in the nightclub industry for 20 years. And as a disc jockey and a sound guy for bands. And I can tell you that if somebody starts to get overserved and they get cut off by the bartender, some of those nightclubs are so busy, they just have their friends go up and get them.
Yep.
And you don't know, there's no way to keep track of where that's going. The other dynamic that I want to touch on real quickly here, and I want to be very clear to the audience, a lot of this is speculation. Yep. It's way too early to know where all this is going to go. And some of the laws regarding what happens federally versus what happens in the states on this can get really, really muddy. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, I don't know if you've heard, but Chuck Schumer and some others have introduced the idea of passing a bill that would essentially have abortion legal. Okay.
Yeah.
And the chances of this passing, I'm going to have to say, even filibuster or no filibuster, is probably very small. But what it could do, and this is where I'm going to go next with this, I'm not so sure. If I was a Republican right now, and if I was, let's say, working for a company, as many people of you know, I work in marketing. And if I was advising the Republicans right now, I would say, don't push this issue until after the midterms, because here's the deal. The leak of this has mobilized a set of voters that 24 hours ago didn't give two hoots and a holler about the midterm elections. The midterm elections this fall was going to be a cakewalk for the Republicans because you got a very weak president. You have a lot of bad things happening with the economy, things with the international foreign policy isn't going well. And now you have awoken, especially young people who probably wouldn't have voted otherwise, okay, are now storming the streets. And this could be, this fall midterm could be one of the largest turnouts ever for a midterm. Mm-hmm. And this was a fight that you didn't need. This was a fight that you could have won very easily. So with that being said, from what I understand, and I here again, I'm prefacing this, this law is complicated. If Roe v. Wade gets overturned, there's approximately 25 or 26 states that are guaranteed to flip and make it illegal right from the beginning. And then there's going to be about a handful that are undecided, and the rest is like California and all that are going to resist. So I'm kind of curious how this is going to unfold legally. My guess is from both sides, there's going to be challenges all over the place. Do you have any perspective on this, Jack?
Well, I mean, it can be challenged, but it's a final decision, though, too, that it's back to the states. And this doesn't necessarily, and a lot of people have this misconception. This isn't necessarily a full countrywide ban on abortion. This is just returning privacy issues such as abortion, such as gay marriage, such as contraception, things like that, back to the states. So, I mean, sure. And a lot of the states actually have the laws already on the books. As soon as Roe v. Wade is gone, the switch is flipped and it's illegal.
They're ready to go.
And the other thing, too, is that this is also just a punishment for poor people. I mean, you got people who, if you can't afford an abortion in the first place, how can you afford a kid? And if you can't afford the service in the first place, too, how are you going to be able to afford going to another state? And some states want to prosecute people for crossing state lines to have one and then coming back. So essentially, you might be exiling people as well.
I've heard some liberals. I don't know if this is a conspiracy theory, but I've heard some liberals say that what they really want is a poor workforce and all the things, about adoption fees and all these other things are all going to bring money into the pot. And that's really what they're shooting for. I don't know about that, but it is an interesting perspective, none the least.
Well, if you look at a lot of laws that disproportionately hurt the poor, too, look at student loans and how much they've hiked up and how you can't discharge them with bankruptcy. Or look at insurance, how we don't have, the public option. What that does is it makes you dependent on companies, especially as someone in the lower to lower middle class, to where if you're in a job you're miserable at, you can't leave it. Like, you're stuck. And especially with, like, say, student loans and stuff, student loans kind of limit your mobility in the first place. You don't have that extra chunk of money every month to be able to afford a nicer apartment or to move to a better area or to buy a better car or any of that. So it really does. I mean, it's plausible. I don't 100% agree with it, but I see where it comes from. If you look at, like, say, the medical insurance thing, if you don't have medical insurance, you're kind of screwed. You just take all your money. And then once again, you're back to square one. And that's another reason that I think that it's never been passed like Medicare for all. It makes us easier to control, makes us more docile. So there's a lot of merit to that. I don't know if it's 100% true in all cases, but it's the same with having a child. You have a kid, your expenses instantly fly up. I mean, some childcare costs are more than people bring home for a weekly pay. I think my sister said that hers for like a week or so over in Massachusetts, which of course is going to be more expensive, is somewhere around $900 a week. I mean, here in Ohio, that's a mortgage payment.
Yeah.
If not more than a mortgage payment. So again, you keep piling debts. People aren't going to fight back. They're not going to have time to protest. They're not going to have time to work against unfair labor practices and laws. So I do see merit in that. I don't know if it's as forceful as they say, though.
George Carlin has been trending on social media largely because of some of the hypocrisy that some of the odd things that he has pointed out of abortion. Of course, he passed away a number of years ago, but his words live on. I've always said him and Richard Pryor are the holy grail of they were beyond comedians. They actually gave an analysis that whether you outwardly agree with them or not, there was something in your subconscious that knew that there was a good portion of what they were talking about that was 100% correct.
Right. And I want to add Bill Hicks to that list.
And one of the things that George Carlin said is that they're all for the right to life. They're all for the precious sanctity of life right up until the time it's born. And then Do we get health care? Should we have universal health care? Do these babies get health care if they are born with an illness? If they are born with some chronic condition, do they get that health care for free? Well, no, that baby can go out there and get a job. So I am less likely to take the pill of this sanctity of human life when it appears that after you are born, you are on your own. You've had your chance. Here's your chance. Lots of luck.
Well, that's the quote. We're raising live babies to have dead soldiers, which is one of his quotes.
Yeah, and there's that. That's people say that too. Yeah,
they're like, oh yeah, abortion's gone. Like Jesus is happy now, but you don't see anything about doing more with, say, Head Start or with WIC or with upping food stamps or any of that. Like you're putting people who are already poor even poorer, and then if you kill the baby, which that's also a thing that's going to happen. People are going to have it and bash its brain out in the woods or something. It's happened a lot in the past. Instead of just painlessly taking the life out, you're going to make the baby suffer anyway. It's just, it doesn't compute with me. I don't know. I'm not religious though. I'm not in that mindset. So I don't really understand it. And I never have.
Okay. I would say this, I'll tidy up the subject for abortion for this particular episode. We're going to revisit it. I'm going to have other people on the program. I'm going to have some women come in on the program as well, because I feel that their opinion is so important. Let me say this to the women out there. No matter what your opinion is about the moral side of this, just be very careful that you don't let largely men who are in the legislative process start determining what you can do with what is between your legs.
Yep.
And it reaches beyond abortion, you know, just like I said, whether it be contraception or whether it be other issues, that anything related to the reproductive process is now in more, of the domain of where they want it to be. And, just be aware of that as you are making your decisions. If you're making your decisions purely on your belief in God and your relationship with what you believe, that's fine. Just be aware of the impact that it's going to have on you, the future access you have to treatments going on in your own body. I mean, this even could come down to if you're being pregnant and you find out you have another medical condition that needs treated and you want to live, you may not have the option of clearing that up.
Yep.
So that's kind of where we're at with that. And here again, that's if the extreme right gets their way. We're not there yet. But like I said, this is a big step in that direction. In the last few segments here, the last quarter or third, I should say, of the podcast, a couple of things here real quick. You're kind of a social media dude. I know you don't do much on Twitter. Elon Musk. And here again, at this point, at the time we're producing this podcast, it certainly appears that Elon Musk is going to buy Twitter.
Yep.
He has committed financially. He has secured financing. And if he backs out of it, he has to pay like $1 billion penalty, which is a lot of money to throw down the drain, even if you're Elon Musk. He has also jockeyed around some Tesla stock, which would, help him secure this purchase financially. So I don't see him backing out of it. However, the money has not exchanged hands yet. And this is a process that could certainly take weeks or months. So there is the possibility that he could back out. That is possible. But I would have to say unlikely at this point from what we know at this time. He has been a free speech advocate. And there's absolutely no question in my mind that most of these social media platforms have been largely governed by the same set of rules, the same philosophies, by people from the same background. So I believe whether you're a fan of Elon Musk or not, I believe that this is something that is going to shake the social media world up. A lot of people who were very comfortable with how things worked a couple weeks ago now are a little nervous because there's some uncertainty about what Elon Musk is going to do. Now, I can tell you on the surface, what he is proposing is very reasonable. He's going to have transparent rules for what constitutes getting suspended. He doesn't believe in permanent bans except in very rare circumstances. He's going to get rid of bots. Bots are something he's going to go after. And he's also going to skew the platform more towards paying customers as opposed to advertisers who are targeting users. That's something I am 100% for. I actually have a paid subscription to Twitter. Yeah. And I would be willing to continue that. I also believe that that also does a good job of taking off a lot of these frivolous accounts who you know, people who open up, you know, half a dozen accounts just to harass and torment people. You're not going to be doing that if you're right. paying for all of them. He said something to the effect that every real person should be verified, not necessarily as a celebrity, but verified as a real person. And I like all these things. He's talking about monetization as well. You know, so you can actually monetize your account once you get to a certain level and do some other things. And this is about the user experience. The one thing that I've always been a critic of the social media, you know, the old adage that if you're using a product and you're not paying for that product, you are the product. Right. And that is really true. Look what Facebook has done. They've not only targeted their users for advertisers, but data and all this other stuff has been questionable. All these quote unquote alleged things, all this information is bought and sold all the time about people's buying habits. So this gives, as a paying customer, you now have more rights. You have more say in what is done with the platform and your usage of it. So I am all for it as it stands right now. Have you followed this at all, Jack? Do you have any opinions on this?
Yeah, I followed it a little bit. Mostly been laughing at everybody acting like it's the end of the world, that they can't like have people banned on Twitter for being a Nazi anymore or whatever it is. The only part of it I kind of don't like is the verification for every account being tied to, say, your driver's license or any of that. One beauty of the internet is that there is, you know, being anonymous. And I feel like that would take away a lot of opportunities for people to whistleblow, which has been a huge advantage of having anonymous internet.
That's true.
And the other thing too is that when you have everybody's personal information to verify them, I mean, suppose you have a security breach, then you have another Equifax situation, or you have another, you know, PlayStation Network situation. Yeah. So I don't know how I feel about having to make verification mandatory, because a lot of people, I feel like, aren't going to go for that either. You know, like, why do I have to be carded for everything?
I don't know that he's making it mandatory.
I've heard that it's a thing that he might possibly do. I'm just saying it's not something I necessarily agree with. The other thing too is that
it's way too early, is it? Yeah, but go ahead.
I like his free speech thing too, and I think a lot of people who live in their own bubbles have lost the ability to block people who are pissing them off, you know. So instead of blocking people or you know, arguing with them or whatever, they call for an immediate ban and ruin someone's life over, you know, an opinion they disagreed with. And I hope that he's exactly a little bit more stringent with what it takes to actually ban somebody, you know. It'll be interesting to watch, that's for sure. It might affect Tesla stock a bit too, because, you know, you're going to have a lot of investors and shareholders who are nervous about what the impact of this Twitter buy is going to have. So I was kind of hoping he would buy Twitter and delete it personally. I'm just kidding. But I did like his one tweet.
He's really not going to flush $45 billion down the drain. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I did like his one tweet where he said that he was going to buy Coca-Cola and then put the cocaine back in it. I thought that was funny.
he got criticized for that too. He was all up in arms about it.
Because I mean, sometimes he makes a lot of sense, and then other times he's got his head up his butt so far that it's like you have no idea how the common man works. Like, yet you're trying to pretend you're one of the common man. Yeah. Like you did not come from nothing. Like you try to say you did. Your parents had an emerald mine in South Africa. of the guy who has to struggle to buy a sandwich at the corner store. Like, just cut that out.
He got off to a good start, but he was nowhere near the wealth that he is now. That wealth was amassed by his initiatives, and I'm sure, you know what, all these ambitious guys, you got dark stories about all of them. I don't care if it's Bill Gates or Steve Jobs or Henry Ford. These guys didn't get where they're at by being Mr. Nice Guy.
No.
Okay. And I, in scope, when I say I love him, I don't mean I agree with everything he says. No, I like the ruggedness. The fact that Tesla and SpaceX and all these don't even have, and as a marketing person, I find it very curious. They don't have advertising budgets. They don't advertise.
Yeah.
And he's such a phenom in that way that he's hard not to, the whole thing with the rockets, you know, he has played a part in that design. He wasn't just somebody who, you know, got rich and paid somebody to do something. He was very much involved in this. So I find him a phenom, and I believe that if this thing with Twitter goes through, it's going to be a good thing for social media. I do believe people's cages need to be rattled.
Yep.
And a lot of times, you know, the whole idea of free speech is that sometimes things that are very ugly are said, and everybody's voice needs to have the ability to be heard. Now, that doesn't mean you have to listen to them. You can block them. Mm-hmm. If they're on TV or radio, whatever, you can tune them out. But this idea that we have to make people that we don't agree with go away,
yep,
is a bad idea. It's a bad idea all the way around. And I know that free speech most specifically applies to laws about the government silencing us. But as I've pointed out in other podcasts, any democratic value when it comes to you know, what's popular, the idea that a democratic value is one hair's breadth away from being mob rule. And right now we're giving the mob too much say and who can speak and who can't. So I kind of like the idea that this Twitter thing may go through. We're in the final minutes. I was going to talk a little bit about President Biden. He's had a couple of gaffes recently, which were kind of alarming, where he seemed to lose his place. I want to be very clear here. I am not, here again, I am not a partisan. I'm old enough to remember Ronald Reagan. And when Ronald Reagan first got elected in 1980, there were a lot of people who were concerned about his age. I followed news and politics my whole life. And back then I was a very young person and I was becoming a teenager and adolescent. And that 8 years that he was in office, I followed the news around him very closely. And he was called the great communicator for a reason. He was very quick. He always has something funny to say. And after his presidency, there were a lot of stories about him in the press and how he played pranks on the press in the press room and everything. And this was a guy who was very alert and very sharp for most of his presidency. But I'm just being honest. In that last year, Ronald Reagan started to slip a little bit. And of course, after his presidency, it became known that he was diagnosed with dementia. And that's a horrible disease. And unfortunately, it took a long time for dementia to take him. He lived in what I would call a very horrible state for a long time before he finally passed away. But anyway, liking the president as much as I did, and that's not to say I agreed with him all the time, it was pretty obvious that last year, he was not the same person as he was when he was governor of California. Back then, man, he was really blah, 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 boom, boom. He always had the talking points ready to go, and he was always funny. Now, keep in mind that Ronald Reagan left the presidency younger than Joe Biden went in. And he is showing some sign. He is certainly not. The last debates that he was in 2012, He's not that same guy.
No,
he is not that same guy. And if you're denying that, then here again, you're in a bubble because he has slipped.
Oh, I can agree with that 100%. I voted for him.
And first of all, I got to say, I really am not too happy with the Democrats on this. And here again, I don't like either party one over the other. I criticize both of them equally, but they had 4 years during a presidency that they detested. When Trump was in there, to come up with a viable candidate, they had 4 years to come up with a rock star. They had 4 years to come up with another Bill Clinton. They had 4 years to come up with another Barack Obama. And they came up with this. This was their solution. This was the best that they had. What say you on this?
Well, I have seen a few of his speeches live. I mostly just read stuff. I don't watch a whole lot of like videos of it because I don't have cable. So I don't have like CNN or any of that stuff running on me all the time. But it's interesting too when you look at the detractors of, you know, Biden, who is, you know, anyone who's, you know, right of center or whatever these days. You know, they criticize him for making like a little stutter, a little like slip up every now and then, like say forgetting the name of a country or something. When you look at the last president, who, if you read a transcript of many of his speeches, it was like rubbernecking a traffic accident made entirely out of words. Like I would see like his speeches and I would read through some of them and feel like I just had a stroke after like the third paragraph. So it really is just projection. If you ask me, do I think he slipped a bit? Yeah, but he's like 90 years old. I mean, not everybody remains as sharp as they were. I mean, my own grandmother died at 92 last year, and she was one of the most intelligent people I've ever known in my entire life. But even toward the end, too, you could tell that she was spacing out more. And honestly, it just brings up the question of why don't we have an upper age limit on elected officials rather than a lower one? I mean, you get these dinosaurs, and I brought this up earlier, who just don't understand technology and don't understand half the things that they're trying to legislate. And then they pass horrible laws that really just have negative effects. Personally, I don't think we should be electing presidents who are over the age of 55 to 60. And of course, much younger if possible, because they're more in touch with modern society and with the modern, you know, world in general. But, you know, that could just be because I'm only 36.
But, well, you can make the argument that anybody in their mid-30s, and of course, your only requirement is being 35 and being a United States citizen. That's pretty much it. But I would caution against age, you being alone being used as a barometer. Like, I'm not a big, I don't agree with a lot of the politics of Bernie Sanders, but he's as sharp as a pin. And, you know, somebody like that, you know, you have an Einsteinish type figure. You don't necessarily want to deny them access to a place in government where they could do a lot of good. So I'm not sure exactly what the barometer is. A lot of people have suggested you don't necessarily have to take away a driver's license of somebody who gets to a certain age. But at a certain age, they have to take their driver's license again.
Right.
Their test again. So, you know, these are all options. But like I said, I'm concerned for him as a human being. I don't want to have him deteriorate on the world stage,
right?
But here again, in terms of the Democrats, we always hear the same names: Hillary Clinton, you know, Joe Biden. It's the same people over and over again. I don't know why that is. I can't believe that that's the best that they've got. But
I just hate that it creates dynasties, and those aren't good for anything either, you know. You get the Bush dynasty and, you know, when in human history has having the same family in charge of things ever turned out correctly, you know? I mean, just saying.
Yeah, not good.
I mean, as far as criticisms go, though, absolutely. I always find the age one to be like one of the weakest ones. You know, I mean, you know, having said that, I think there should be an upper limit on, you know, being in elected office. Because, I mean, a president's a figurehead. He's not supposed to be an all-knowing magician that, you know, has like a 200 IQ and can solve everything as well. So, I don't know. I see a lot about Biden. As I said, I've seen a lot about Biden, like, losing his mind and all that. And it is noticeable from 2016 to 2008, but people age. And if you look at the last president, well, I mean, you're not one to talk, you know, just saying.
Yeah. And that criticism is fair. And it's also fair that, you know, the late night talk shows every night were, you know, how he pronounced a certain word, how he did this a certain word. And it seems like the mainstream media largely has totally ignored what's going on with Biden. Now, a few of them mention it. And it's a concern, like you say, in everyday events around Washington is probably not necessarily a big issue until there's a crisis.
Right.
You know, until there's, some nuclear warheads going hot somewhere and you got to make a decision quick. Who's in charge of that moment? A lot of good stuff talked about today. We're going to revisit these topics. We're also going to revisit Ukraine in the future. As some of you may know, I mentioned last week that I'm going to have an author with a professional wrestler. That was originally scheduled for this week. That didn't work out. So right now that's coming up in the week or two ahead. And there's some other people that are going to come on and talk about these issues as well. So we have a lot going on. Jack will be back again at some point in the future as well. So I'm really glad for the discussion today, Jack. Thank you very much for being on the podcast. I much appreciate it.
Anytime, man. Sorry, it's been a minute. You just keep hitting me up when like I'm in the middle of something else, but I don't have any plans for a while. So anytime, man.
That's all right. Oh, well, it's always great having you. Your perspective is always very good. So anyway, you have been listening to the Billy Dees podcast. I am Billy Dees. You can find me real easily on Twitter at Billy Dees. That's kind of like my social media home. You can also find the Billy Dees podcast pretty much anywhere podcasts are found, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and an app called Good Pods, which is kind of like the Goodreads of podcasting. And that we have a good relationship with that platform. And I'm very happy to be on it. Thank you very much for listening to our podcast today. And we will return next week.
See ya.
Well, hello, everyone. I am Billy Dees from the self-titled Billy Dees Podcast. You can find me on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and many more of the best podcast networks. Join me for my commentary and interviews. Follow me on Twitter, really easy to find, at Billy Dees. I am Billy Dees. I'd love to have you listen in.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.